Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and a company update, this time from Lion One Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. I'm chatting with the technical advisor, Quentin Henny. Now, Quentin, we're following up on a news release that came out earlier this week on Tuesday, January 18th. It is some drill results. Two holes, one deep hole, one shallow hole. The deep hole is number 514, and the shallow hole is number 518. Now, my first kind of take on these drill results is that you did see some high grade, some very high grade. One of the deep hole results was almost 300 grams per ton gold. That was over quite a narrow intersect, 0.23 meters. We saw some other high grade results in the mid-teens and even up to 64 grams per ton gold. One takeaway, though, again, is that the overall width of these results is relatively narrow. So we had a 20 gram per ton result that was almost 3.5 meters. What can you summarize for us in terms of the deep hole, first and foremost, these results that we saw?
Sure. Look, this drilling that we've done is pretty much in line with expectations. The loads here are on the average about a meter to maybe 5 meters in width. And they're comprised of a network of fractures. So if you look, like if you're underground and you're looking at the load itself, what you'll see usually is a small fracture on the footwall, small fracture in the hanging wall, and then kind of a lattice work of small veinlets in between, kind of crisscrossing one another. Now, oftentimes, what we see is, you know, one or two of those little fractures will just deliver uber high-grade gold. So in the case of the drilling that we've done, you can see that there's a reported length, I think it's something on the order of 3.5 meters that graded around 21 gram per ton. Yes, a lot of that's driven by a smaller, you know, interval, a smaller subset of that, which is, I think, a little over a point, like you said, I think it was 0.23 meters and nearly 300 grams per ton. But that's the nature of the system, okay? The fact that we're seeing these exceptionally high grades, especially down at depth, tells us that we're into these some of these bigger branches of the tree, so to speak. I've talked about this before, where the upper part of the Tuvatu system is, you know, they've drilled it for 20 years now. And you know, it's basically the uppermost branches, the little tendrils of the top of the tree. As we go down, we're starting to see somewhat bigger and higher grade tendrils. Look, the thing that people have to understand about these systems, particularly this type of alkaline system, very high grade loads, but not necessarily huge widths. To give you an example, Porgera in New Guinea, which is, I'd say, a direct analog to this, has veins like the Romani vein. The main structure is only about 3 or 4 centimeters across. I kid you not. Okay, it's not, you know, we're not looking for, I mean, occasionally, yes, you hit a wonderful spot within one of these where it kind of blows out. And we did earlier, you know, in July, I think, of last year. But more typically, you're going to see intervals like what we just reported. And in my view, it's great. The deposit delivers about 2,500 ounces per vertical meter. And what, you know, the real takeaway here is that this drill hole, which is fully 100 meters below hole 500, now extends the system, the resource, the bottom of the resource is something like 200 meters or maybe a bit more, I think, above this drill intercept. Okay, so we've just added 200 meters to the profile. Yes, we haven't drilled it off with umpteen holes yet, but if the deposit continues to deliver another 2,500 ounces per vertical meter, that's huge. I mean, basically, we've just demonstrated there's at least another 500,000 ounces immediately below potential below the existing deposit. That's a big win.
So what would this mean for a mining scenario? Obviously, if you hit this higher grade deeper down, well, that's attractive. But when you get deeper down into a system, how can that play into a mining scenario?
Okay, these alkaline systems, they often go down into the ground well over a kilometer. Porgera, they're mining over 1.3 kilometers down. At the Emperor mine or the Vatukoula deposit, which is not too far from us in Fiji, I think they've mined down in excess of 1,200 meters, so 1.2 kilometer. The Macassa deposit in Kirkland Lake, Ontario, it's an older deposit, but it's the same type. They're mining, I think, 5,800 feet or something like that. You know, which would be what? That would be, I think, about 1.8 kilometers down or something on that order. Okay, these systems, they go down, and, you know, people that sit there and scratch their head and, well, can you mine it? Absolutely, you can. We're talking extremely high grade. These mines, all of them, have produced gold at very high margin at great depths. Look, the incremental cost to go deeper is not all that much, especially when you're dealing with a robust system like this, which is delivering over, you know, say 2,500 ounces per vertical meter. Okay, there's kind of a rule of thumb in the mining industry that, you know, to build a respectable underground mine, something that's going to generate profit, you kind of have to have 1,000 ounces per vertical meter. We're well in excess of that. Okay, we're 2.5 times that. Drilling deeper, no problem. You know, if we had to go down, like I said, the depths of Porgera, for example, no problem. You know, you're not going to necessarily put a shaft in. You're probably going to do a decline, and that's the plan. Line one is already developed plans, or they're developing, you know, implementing plans to put a decline in that would ramp down, okay, not just a vertical shaft, but a decline, a spiral decline, that would ramp down and access this level.
Well, thanks for clearing that one up. Hopefully that does clear some of that up. But let's also quickly talk about the shallow hole, hole 518. We did get another high-grade result, 255 grams per ton gold over 0.25 meters. So again, narrow width. This was about a 200-meter depth in terms of the hole. What's this shallow hole telling you about the system?
Well, it's actually pretty remarkable. So the upper part of the Tuvatu lode system, actually the uppermost part, the stuff that's basically within the first couple hundred meters of surface, has not been pincushioned all that much. Like if you look at the drilling within the resource model, most of it, probably maybe half or two-thirds of it, comes from the underground decline. Okay, so the in other words, the decline goes in the ground, and they weren't able to test as robustly test the upper stuff. So we have a rig up on surface now that's doing some shallow holes, kind of infilling and, you know, expanding resource in that shallow environment. And to see a nice stout high grade interval, wasn't quite as high grade as the one that we hit at depth, but it was still triple digit numbers. Up in that regime is just kind of a testament to the obscene nature of grades you can get in this type deposit. A little background on how these things form. Okay, they're called alkaline gold systems because the deposits are formed when magmas, you know, molten rock that was embedded deep in the ground that have a lot of potassium, which is an alkali metal. When they start to cool and solidify, the water and incompatible elements like gold come off of those magmas, and they find their way up very quickly. They rapidly ascend up through the cracks in the ground. And as they do so, the gold becomes saturated. It starts to rapidly precipitate, and you can get high grades over a huge vertical profile like I talked about in those other deposits. Okay, what we're seeing at Tuvatu fits the model precisely. We're seeing very high grades from grassroots, like, or, you know, very close to the surface, like we have in that shallow hole, all the way down to this very deep level. In fact, the intercept that we have, the one that's grading nearly 300 grams per ton, is something like 700 meters down. So, you know, this is a big system. This is a very, very big system. Fits a classic model. Requires patience. You got to drill these structures, target them very precisely because you got to hit them repeatedly to demonstrate continuity. But that's our plan. We got two underground rigs showing up here shortly, and we're going to drill this thing very, very aggressively.
Okay, let's talk about some of this drilling that's on tap, because that really is the catalyst here, at least one of the catalysts, let's say, for the company. These two underground rigs that are coming, what's going to be the target there for these?
Yeah, so the underground rigs actually allow us to go down that existing decline and drill from underground drill cuttings, basically drill stations underground. We can attack these high-grade intercepts or this high-grade area that we found at depth. It'll save us about 200 meters of drilling. You know, in other words, to drill from surface, it would be 200 meters more. So we're saving some meters, but it also gives us a better vantage. Like, we can drill at a more favorable angle. Right now, because of the steepness of the terrain, we're literally just lancing this thing, almost, you know, like poking holes straight down to hit the target. In the case of our underground drilling, we should be able to drill these more at an orthogonal angle, which is really good. And then the other aspect of underground drilling is you can do it year-round. Like rainy season, you won't be impeded by access up to your drill rig and stuff. So we're looking forward to this. We've got two rigs showing up in approximately 2 weeks, and the drill cuttings are being put in. We should be going in the very short term.
So what are the goals of this continued drill program then? Obviously, to continue to show mineralization at depth, but the company already has quite de-risked the upper portion of this resource. So what are these goals?
Okay, right now I know that, and this is based on that PEA that they published latter half of last year, the company is looking very seriously now at, and they raised the money. Also, that was an important, you know, event in the latter half of last year. They're looking at going ahead and putting the decline in and building the mine. Okay, the scale has, the exact scale has not yet been determined, but I think my advice to the company, look, I'm an explorationist, so I got to watch my, I'm not an engineer, but my advice with mines like what you could develop for Tuvatu is you kind of start on the smaller scale and you grow up. Like you scale up on the back of production and cash flow. The reason for that is if you build a big mill, then you have to keep the darn thing full. And keeping mills full is not so easy sometimes. So my view is, you know, if you start at the, say, 300-ton range, 300-ton-per-day range, that's probably a good place for this type of mine. And then, you know, if the exploration that's being done concurrently as we develop the mine, or as they develop the mine, if the exploration pays off, maybe, you know, almost simultaneously, you're looking at expanding it to 500 tons a day in the, you know, short term right after you get it commissioned. You know, so, but this is, it's a critical step for the company. The company needs to put this deposit into production and also explore this thing aggressively. Okay, the system is there. There's no question. The structural network is in the ground that hosts these loads, and there should be a lot more gold. Okay, you get a mine going, it becomes like the Energizer Bunny. You know, it's a self-perpetuating system at that point. You're producing money, you're able to explore, produce more money, grow, etc.
Yeah, especially if you're exploring right under where you're mining. So that all makes sense to me, but what is the development time here of getting this mine up and running?
Okay, so if the current contracts and whatnot the company is looking at are put in place over the next couple of months, I would say that the decline, the COVID, you know, we got to accept COVID's a factor, so I can't prognosticate on what the heck's going to happen there, but I would say commissioning a decline or starting work on the decline should be in the next few months, say maybe when the dry season starts in May, something like that. Okay, decline down to the elevation, the depth at which we're starting to see this high grade, perhaps, you know, a timeline. I'm an exploration geologist, so I'll give that caveat. But I would say on the order of probably 14 to 18 months, something like that. But and at the same time, concurrent with that, you're going ahead and getting your mill components built and shipped to site and, you know, the mill constructed. So, you know, we're talking about probably a 2-year endeavor.
Okay, I appreciate that. And while that's going on, you guys are continuing to drill. So in terms of news flow, then just summarize what everyone can be expecting out of line one.
Okay, we have, let's look at the drilling first. Let's break it down. So with the drilling, we are drilling a wedge off of the hole that we just announced. So hole 514, we're going to put a wedge out, and we're going to try to tag this thing. The wedge is going to head off in a somewhat more northwesterly direction and give us another pierce point through the high-grade zones. We actually hit two high-grade zones, by the way, in hole 514. If you read the news release, you can get a flavor for that. Okay, so we'll hit both those zones again. And then we have a second deep capacity rig operating from surface right now that is actually in the target zone or target range right now. And I would expect if we see some good veins, good structure in there, the assays can get turned around very quickly given the lab is on site. And we should be able to get some news out around that in the not too distant future, say within the next couple of weeks. The shallow surface rig will keep going. It is a slower operation because it's more designed for an underground purposes, really. But it's what we call a conventional rig. So they have to literally pull the rods out, take the core out, put the rods back in every time they do a run. It's a little bit slower, but they're going to keep testing those shallow targets to try to infill that shallow area. Okay, so that's in the immediate term. Then looking around the early part of February, we're going to get the two underground rigs inside, on-site and into the mine. I would say those should be turning sometime in February, given that they've already prepared the drill cuttings or are almost done with the drill cuttings. And then the other news that the company is going to have is providing the definitive plans for development of the mine here at Duvatu, and that should be done over the next, like I said, 2 or 3 months.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for this update, Quentin. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get Quentin to address those for you, and if we get enough of those questions, I'll bring Quentin back on to address them to all of you for a broader audience. Quentin, again, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your week. I'm sure I'll be chatting with you again soon.
Thanks, Corey.